Ladies man, but I'm a man now. For courting six girls all at once, they used me.
Say bye-bye, baseball!
My mother said it was naughty, now she's kissing goodbye. But I said if it's naughty, sure it's also very nice.
And the lollipops is grand grabs done. The benches are clearing.
Dust Up with Hilly and Lolly is brought to you by Mr. Ned Custom Men's Suiting in New York City. Whether you're a professional athlete, celebrity, or just a couple of softball bums like us, if you're ready to ditch the old dusty suit and stop dressing like an animal, visit Mr. Ned, located at 137 Fifth Avenue, New York City, and tell Verm, Hilly and Lolly sing.
Welcome back, folks, to another episode of the Dust Up Debrief Sessions. And Shalesy, Hilly, what a friggin' episode we got tonight. On the tail end of our last episode with Colin Abbott, we got Captain Canada himself, Ryan Wolf, here with us. Hilly, we've been talking about this from the launch of the Debrief Sessions, and it's finally here. I'm pumped about it, buddy.
Yeah, this is pretty cool. Like, you know, we got two goats, in my opinion, in the hitting aspect and back-to-back. But obviously, Wolfie and Colin, our previous guest, had tremendous success in this game, but two very different hitters with different approaches. So I'm very interested, Colin being a guy who would exercise a lot of patience and like to work himself in counts, and Wolfie, who was more of an aggressive hitter. So I'm very interested to see here the thought process behind all that and the game plan that follows.
Yeah, man. And Shalesy, you're no stranger to being teammates with Wolfie and being across. You've seen everything he's done in the game, and you know the topic that we're talking about tonight, swinging at the first pitch. What are your thoughts on this and the topic?
Mate, looking forward to taking some pointers away from one of the best leadoffs to ever play the game, to be honest. Got the pleasure of playing with him a few times, and ready to pick his brain here tonight and learn a few things that coaches could never teach us.
Well, that's it. And well, we got him here. Wolfie, thanks for coming back on the podcast. You kind of know the format, and everybody in the softball world knows who you are, what you've done in your career. Too many rings to count, but these debrief sessions, man, we're excited to have you on. We've all sat around the hotel room having a beer. Welcome back. And we're going to dive into this swinging at the first pitch in the leadoff role. But thanks for coming back, buddy.
No, thanks, guys. Great to be back. And happy to be here. Talk a little softball again.
Yeah. So we had Colin Abbott on just a few minutes ago, which might be 2 weeks ago when these things are released. We don't know. But, with Abby, he's notorious for taking the first pitch and working deep in counts. I can't count on my hands and toes the number of home runs I've seen you hit to lead off a game. So we wanted to give the flip side of the coin. So let's jump right into it. Again, it's a debrief session. So swinging at the first pitch for you, in the leadoff spot in particular, on some of the best teams in the world, peel back the onion a bit for us. What's going through your mind when you're getting up to start a ball game, and particularly whether you're going to swing at the first pitch or not?
Yeah, it's probably not. I wasn't really the prototypical leadoff hitter, really. When you think about it, you want the leadoff batter to work some counts and see some pitches. And it really, that just wasn't my style. I wanted to get on top. You know, pitchers don't want to fall behind early. They're going to come right at you. And I was going to get into the box and ready to hit first pitch. I wasn't giving them any freebies.
So you figure like traditionally over the years, like you figure the very first pitch of the game, pitchers would try to get that, sneak that first one by you. Like, would they always try to throw a strike, you know, because they're trying to get in a rhythm as well, just as much as the hitter.
Absolutely. First pitch of the game, you know, they probably are. And again, outside of maybe Todd Martin, you know, they're not going to throw a change. They're going to come with something hard. But yeah, they want to get into the groove and find their rhythm and get their zone. So they're coming at you for a pitch, for sure. They're not going to throw any waste pitches to start a game.
So did your approach change at all when you came up against, like you said, someone like your Todd Martins, like your Darren Zachs, Pieknicks, and those sort of guys? Like once you got against those level of pitchers, did your mindset change at all, or were you always just straight after that first pitch?
No, not exactly. It was always pitchers definitely would change. Whoever I was facing definitely would change my approach a little bit. Again, it wasn't that I was just going up at the first pitch regardless. You're right. Still going up with a plan.
And a plan, yeah.
And as, you know, I became more established in the game as well, pitchers started to identify that I was willing to go after the first pitch. So they started to, you know, pitch around me a little bit or know that at least I was going to be in there and aggressive with that first pitch. So, but yeah, definitely based on the pitcher, you adjust that approach a little bit for sure.
Did it matter if you didn't face that pitcher before or if it like in your mind, I haven't seen this guy before. I've never had an at bat against him. Did that change things?
Yeah, definitely. Especially like my first at bat of a game sort of thing. If I'd never seen the pitcher before, you do want to get some timing down. Again, there are situations where swinging at the first pitch is not recommended, but yeah, again, you know, as I got more years in and, you know, facing the same pitchers over and over again, you know their go-to pitch. You know what they're going to come with if they need a strike. As I said, you know, most aren't going to start you off with anything off speed. So looking for something hard. And as you guys know, I was a pull hitter predominantly. So I'm looking for something sort of middle in that I can drive. A lot of pitchers, especially towards the end of my career, would start me away. Which again, you know, then I've got to be a little more selective and make sure, you know, I'm not going to give up an at bat. But again, I'm looking something middle in, something I can drive still, and still going up there with a plan in place, not just hacking at first pitch regardless.
Now that works out sometimes too, though. Just getting up hacking, right? I think we got four guys on here that could probably vouch for that. But boy, Wolfie, how fucking cool is it though to lead off a big game too? First pitch, bang, 1-0. Especially like the top of the first, very first pitch of the game, 1-0. You've done it a bunch of times. How freaking cool is that?
I don't know if there's anything better than that for your own, you know, confidence, but for the team to start a game off like that, it's great for the team confidence, and it's pretty demoralizing for the other team to be throw one pitch and be down 1-0. So, right. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great, it's thrilling to do that.
And, for sure. And it's so deflating for like the other team and the pitcher. Like, especially like I'll look at myself. It's never happened to me before. I think Brad Esgill had to do it a couple times. And like, you know, you're warming up and you're feeling good. Like, Jesus, I had a really good warm up. Like, I'm ready to go. First pitch, you're down 1-0. You're like, what the hell's going on here, man? This is bullshit. It kind of, you know, especially in the big games, it can deflate you pretty quick and take the wind right out of your sails.
Oh, 100%. You know, and there's nothing better. Obviously, as a leadoff batter, you're trying to just spark the team somehow, and, you know, trying to get on base any way you can. Mm-hmm. If you can start the game off with a bomb, there's nothing better.
Well, it changes the pitcher's game plan too. As soon as they know that you're going to be aggressive, all of a sudden, they're probably not going to throw you a strike to start out. So all of a sudden, now they're behind. And they're just going to keep getting further and further behind. Next thing you know, you've got to walk to lead off the game. That's just as deflating. And it's really impressive to watch, like I said, like yourself and like Bradley Esicles, another one, you Canadian leadoff hitters. It's been pretty crazy over the last 15, 20 years. The most aggressive leadoff hitters in the world. But no, it's been awesome to watch, that's for sure. And
you do it once against me. You do it once against me. You'd hit a home run off me. You take the next pitch right to your ribs. You take it.
Well, I've had another Newfoundlander do that to me. So yeah, it happens.
Well, know what I like about that? Well, this group in particular on here is getting to reflect on a lot of years of playing at a high level, right? And we talked on a couple of podcasts about the length of a season and trying to build up to the ring tournaments, right? Was there any strategy involved throughout, say, a weekend tournament playing against, you know, a team you know you're going to beat to work on things or maybe plant seeds for later? Or was it always, you know, you take it one game at a time, you get in, see how you're feeling, you're going to get aggressive looking at the pitcher. Was there any long-term game plan around your approach on the first pitch throughout an ISC season or really a, won't say a career, but you know, when you're starting early in the season, are you working on things to take advantage of it come ISC time?
I think it's more just taking notes and learning, you know, tracking how pitchers are going to throw me, what they're going to start me off with. And if you guys know, like during games, we're all talking. I know you guys all do a great job of communicating, you know, what you're seeing at the plate and what pitches, you know, or certain pitchers throwing for strikes. But I've done that in the past where you know, track and see, you know, what pitch they're starting on right-handed batters off with. And things like that, and try to take advantage of any little piece of information. And over the course of the season, and you know, as I said before, oftentimes you can pick catchers, right. You can pitch, you know, pick based on sequences that they like to call, and those sorts of things. So it's more just sort of acquiring that knowledge throughout the season, and trying to track tendencies or sequences that either pitchers or catchers might fall into, rather than trying to set them up. Like I played with Jared Martin for years, and he would never swing at the first pitch similar to Colin. But again, he was setting pitchers up because come a big game late in the, you know, an ISC or any of the rig tournaments, he would go after that first pitch. You know, again, pitchers thinking, you know, he's going to take, and he's been taking all year or whatever, but he was setting pitchers up. That was never really my approach. I wasn't, again, so I'm sort of the opposite of that because I'm going at first pitch. So I was more just trying to gather as much information as I could over the season and looking for those tendencies and sequences.
Right. So obviously game plans change on the fly, especially at the plate. So let's just say, for example, you swing and you miss the first pitch. So then what's the thought process then, you know, or you hit a foul ball or whatever. So do you try to work into account then to see some more pitches, or do you keep that aggressive mentality if he comes with it, I'm swinging? You know, if something you can handle.
Yeah, I really kept the aggressiveness for the most part. And again, the pitchers we were playing against are so talented, right? They're so good. You can't give away, you know, free strikes. Right, yeah. And yeah, I would, you know, still work counts, you know, occasionally, but you know, looking for a pitch or having an approach, and if it's there, you know, I was going to swing.
Yeah, you don't really want to be out there any longer than you had to be, eh, bud?
No. The number of games, I probably had four at bats and some four pitches.
Well, there goes my next question. I was going to say, does your approach change in your later at bats once you see a few more pitches? But yeah, doesn't sound like it.
No. Well, again, situationally, you know, again, there's times where, right, you know, as you know, the story I think I told the last time I was on the podcast about my first tour with Team Canada, coming in for a pinch hit and swinging at the first pitch and Colin pulling me aside and talking about certain situations where, you know, great to be an aggressive hitter, but there are certain situations where you should not be swinging first pitch. And again, it's all situational, you know, depending on how the pitcher's throwing, if they're struggling to find a strike zone, you know, really need a base runner, might try to work to get a, you know, a walk, something like that. But I was a fairly aggressive hitter, you know, first inning versus seventh inning.
Yeah. I love this topic. I love this topic. And I love talking to you about this topic because, well, we all got to see it firsthand. But now, you guys, three of the best in the world, right? No slumps ever happen with you guys, right? Never. Like, right?
Surely not,
Hilly. Never been in a slump. But no. My question really is, when it comes to slumps, which are inevitable for the best hitters in the world, right? That to go through those funks. For you, Wolfie, if you've gone through those slumps, you're just either swinging, you're missing, you're not getting on base, you're just not in the zone. Does the approach change to maybe at that point sit back, take a pitch, get your timing, get set in the box? You know, how does a slump or trying to work your way out of it, or do you go to the adage we sometimes hear, swing your way out of it?
No, I think definitely if I was if I was struggling or in a bit of a slump, I would be a little more selective at the plate. Again, trying to look for a certain pitch or a certain zone where I know I can drive. But again, like for my mentality and what I always tried to do anytime I was struggling, my whole focus was I was going to try and hit the ball as hard as I could at the shortstop. And for me, that was, you know, pulling the ball, that was my power alley. If I'm hitting the ball hard to the left side of the infield, again, chances of it going straight at the shortstop, you know, are pretty slim. If it goes over the shortstop, it's in the gap. If I hit it left or right of the shortstop, it's a base hit. So I really just tried to simplify it, looking for a pitch sort of in and half that I could drive and just trying to get it hard at the shortstop. And it sounds pretty simple, but that was sort of my approach.
And I guess it kind of the opposite rings true too. Like Colin said, Colin likes to see a lot of pitches and get into a count. And, you know, but you're also allowing the pitcher to get in to try some different pitches in different spots and see what you can handle and what you can't handle. And I guess the aggressiveness would kind of take that away. You're not really giving the pitcher a chance to, you know, to feel you out type thing. So, you know, I get, you know, obviously arguments for and against, but, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting.
And if you step up and you hit a drop ball, first pitch for a base hit, chances are the next at bat, he's not going to come back with a drop ball. He's going to throw a rise or something different. Like,
right. And you know that as a hitter, you know that, right? So that works into your game plan going to the
plate. Absolutely.
Exactly. And it's awesome hearing from other people about the slumps as well. Like you said yourself, you look for something on the inner half to try and pull at the shortstop. For me personally, I was the opposite. I was looking for something on the outer half to go the other way with, because that right center gap was my power alley. But just knowing that different hitters can be just as successful hitting on one side of the plate compared to the other is really what these debrief sessions are about. It's hearing from guys like the three of you guys on how you handle all this sort of stuff. And it's good to hear that everyone's sort of approaches it very, very similarly.
It's excellent to break down just the little subtle nuances of playing at the top level. And you're only getting 3-4 at-bats a game. Wolfie, I don't know. We talked about it with Colin, right? Because his approach was to try and get deep into account, see as many pitches that he could bank for later bats in the game, right? And he was batting 4. You get to see pitches from, like, you know, what you said when you first came on, you're a non-traditional leadoff hitter, where, you know, some traditional leadoff hitters are designed to see 6-7 pitches to help the guys follow them, right? But there's been times where all of us, I'm sure, and you in particular, have gotten up and, like you said, seen 4 pitches in one game, right? But you can kind of look at this broadly, but when you break it down situationally, right? And what I mean by situationally would be a big game, right? Okay, you're going in, you're leading off the ISF championship game. You're leading off the ISC championship game. And then later in the game, it might be coming up in the bottom of the 7th. Right. And you might not be leading off that inning. You're coming up with bases loaded in a tie game. Does the situation dictate your approach at the plate when it comes to swinging at the first pitch or not?
Yeah, I think if I'm coming up with bases loaded in bottom of the 7th of an ISF, you know, gold medal game, I'm probably going to take some pitches. I'm going to, you know, defer back to Dabby. You know, in my first tour of Team Canada, and I have to make sure that I'm not giving away that at bat. I've got to, you know, put a ball in play, hit something hard, drive a run. But yeah, it's definitely, there are situations where being that super aggressive swing of the first pitch is not recommended, I would say.
It puts a lot of pressure on the pitcher too. Like that same situation, okay, Wolfie's up, I'm pitching. Bases are loaded. We got no outs or one out. I know he's aggressive. He likes the first pitch, but the last thing I want to do is fall behind the count. So then it's like a, you know, it becomes a chess match, right? Game within the game.
Yeah. The game's so great.
Shalesy, we're talking to Colin Abbott on our last episode. We're talking to Ryan Wolf now. The reputation of a hitter, how much does that come into play, right? When we're talking about these big situations. Okay, if there's a no name or a not as recognizable name up at the plate, but when you see a Ryan Wolf walking up with bases loaded, with the game on the line, reputation comes into play on the defensive and the pitching side, don't it?
Big time. It's scary as fuck. Like, it doesn't matter who you got on the mound, right? It's like these are the best hitters in the world. All right, you can't just serve one up to him because, like Wolfie said, hey, maybe he might be trying to work himself into account. We don't know that. All we know is he's aggressive. And if we sit one right down the middle, this game could be over in one swing of the bat. So just knowing who's at the plate and how aggressive they are, it changes the whole ballgame.
Yeah, and you see it all the time. It doesn't matter if you're 0-3 that particular game in a big time. How many times do we see one of the big dogs coming to the plate? It could be 0-3 that game, but it's a big situation. Time. We gotta talk about this here. Let's not, you know, yeah, he's over three right now, but you know, we could be looking up by the fence here pretty quick. So let's kind of figure this out for a minute, right? You see it all the time.
Percentages say there's a good chance he could go one for four.
Yes.
Now, Wolfie, everybody who knows you well. You're a humble guy. You don't like talking about yourself. You're not an about me guy. You're confident. You're very good at what you do. Did that ever play into an advantage for you, knowing that you do have a bit of a reputation? You're known as one of the best players in the game, and that you are aggressive. Have you ever been able to use that to your advantage?
I think so. I think more than just my reputation as a hitter, but also, you know, my speed, my base running, I think as well played a bit of a factor, because and I was fortunate enough to play on great teams with great lineups, like the three of you batting behind me, calling, you know, another one, and the list goes on and on. You know, if pitchers do try to work around me and not give me much to hit, and I get a walk, now I'm on the bases with another, you know, world-class hitter behind me. I could, you know, I can steal. I was definitely a threat to steal. So now I'm in scoring position with the likes of whoever, the three of you, Abby, who can change the score with one swing of the bat. So,
yeah. I was going to say, did you ever get any shit? Like, even just joking around with the boys, like the 3 and 4 hitters, like who kind of like to see, we touched on it last episode, kind of like to see a few pitches, you know, like to see what the pitcher's throwing. I know you're getting up there swinging, and all of a sudden, like, hey, what's he throwing, Wolfie? Or nice patience, Wolfie, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely, you know, especially playing with the farm, Abby and Budkey and Grazer and those guys, they go, oh, what's he got tonight, you know? Like, I don't know, it's that problem.
He's throwing strikes.
definitely heard that quite a bit.
Oh, I'd say, mate. Oh, man, it's now that you've finished your career and everything, and just to touch on what Lally was saying, was do you ever feel like you got a few calls from the umpires just because they knew you were Ryan Wolf at the plate?
Yeah.
You can't say – you cannot say fucking no to this. You cannot say no.
And it's funny. At my Hall of Fame induction, I took him during my speech. I thanked the Blue Crew. and everything like that, and everybody on the panel, you know, Travis and Reese and Muzi and Bossy, they all said, "Well, you were the perfect one to pay the Blue Crew. You probably have better rapport, better relationship with them than any else." So I definitely feel I probably got some calls over the years for sure.
Yeah, but you know, you're a good guy too. You play the game the right way. I think
earned calls.
There's nothing. Yeah, reputation is one thing, but reputation is not just talent. It's also how you carry yourself, and not just in the batter's box, just how you treat people, and you know, you set the standard for that. But this is a debrief session, so we do want to be mindful of that. But as we said with Abby, you know, it's a privilege to have you on here, being able to talk about these things, right? So before we wrap it up, I do want to talk just one more topic around this aggressive first pitch mentality. And it's really high level, big game. And new pitcher comes in and you're coming up, right? And say you're on deck, you were planning for the guy you've seen twice already, and he gets pulled. And now you got to step in the box with,
he's not getting pulled because he's striking everybody out. There might be runners on base, and it's a big point. So you got a new pitcher coming into a game. You know, let our listeners know what goes through your head in that situation.
Well, yeah, depending on my experience with the pitcher, I'm going to start sort of replaying some of my bats against them. It's a little different. I always, you know, I use my time on the on-deck circle to get my timing down and to work at, you know, getting ready for the at-bat. A little different if they're just coming into a warm-up pitches to do that. But again, it all of those factors of, you know, previous at-bats and knowing what their go-to pitch is and the situation with the score and the runners who all come in to play, I would still be aggressive if I needed to. And actually, you know, an actual story of when that actually when it happened, it was the 04, going way back to the 04, would have been the undefeated game. We were playing County, and I think we were probably two times through the order. I was coming up for the third time, and they brought Z in to pitch to me. And Steve Schott, who was playing with us at the time, but had played for Darren for a long time, he pulled me aside, and he said, "He's coming at your first pitch." And he said, "He's going to come at you something hard first pitch. So get in there and go at it." And again, you don't have to tell me twice. So throw the first pitch. So I had the first pitch coming in that situation.
Yeah, and yeah, I don't know if I just missed it, but what happened in that situation on that particular bat?
I barreled it and it left the yard.
See? Boys, right? That's what we're talking about.
That's what, right? I took from it too. Well, you gotta explain it to Lolly, right? You gotta break it down for
him. No, one of the few times I was able to get the better of Z-Man, because again, that doesn't happen very often. But again, he pulled me aside. He said, "No, he's coming at your first pitch." So he knew I was an aggressive hitter, and you know, in that situation, he just sort of gave me the green light to go up swinging, and I did.
Yeah, and that's probably Z trying to play a little bit of chess too, right? Because he knows that you know that he's swinging at the first pitch. So, right? He's not going to – he knows that I know he swings, so I'm not going to throw him – or I'm going to throw him a strike now. I don't know.
Yeah.
Game within the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's wicked. But, guys, this was awesome. Again, we – you know, our last two episodes, we get to see both spectrums when it comes to the best hitters in the world and their approach. Wolfie, appreciate you coming back on, you know, pulling back the curtain a little bit on the mentality going into this. And Shalesy, we said it the last time, one of the best in the world to do it. You got to see it firsthand, but another great episode.
Right, nothing like chatting with Hall of Famers. Yeah, miss playing with you, but definitely don't miss playing against you, mate. It was good to talk again.
right back at you.
Yeah, great stuff, Wolfie, as usual. Just some really good stuff in there, boys, like for the young listener. And that's the beauty about these debriefs. We're getting right into the nitty-gritty of the game. Beauty.
Yeah, and it gives us the opportunity to all get back on here again, talk about a different topic. But, you know, this is going to be coming out right around Christmas time. Wolfie, Merry Christmas to you and yours. To our listeners, Merry Christmas. And thanks for hanging out for another episode of the Debrief Sessions. And we got Lucas and Nick here, a little bit of Rum Ragged to take us out.
Get up! Get out of here!
I told you, Mr. Drama. I used to be a ladies' man, but I'm a man now. For courting six girls all at once, they
used me. Say bye-bye, baseball!
My mother said it was naughty.
Now
she's bye-bye. But I said it's naughty. It's all so good.
And the rolling drops is glove wraps, dog.